I'm Larry Kraft.
And I'm Abby Finnis. This is City Climate Corner, where we explore how small and mid-sized cities are tackling climate change and moving toward an equitable and sustainable future. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Abby.
So today we have another one of our youth episodes, and we are speaking with Samantha Smithies of Albany, California. What'd you think?
Oh, she's great. We spoke to her back in December of 2020, and I was just so impressed with how, in talking about some of the things that Albany is going through, the role that she played and also her ability to describe the situation and the pros and cons of what they're doing and the not just the climate impacts, but the equity impacts as well.
Yeah, I just really love how not only is this high school student super engaged in this pretty technical issue and city process, but also treated as a peer by council members and other folks who are involved in this effort. And that's just really, I think, a cool approach to city government and making sure that you're reaching out to the next generation and bringing them in and making them participants of our democracy.
Absolutely. And with Samantha, it was not only bringing them in, but she then was in a leadership role on the commission, the environmental commission there, which after you talk to her, you're not at all surprised for that. And something else she points out that I think is true is sometimes a young person will get a reaction like, hey, it's great that you're here, and that's the impressive thing. But what you realize is that it's not just them being there, but it's how eloquent and how powerful they can be as well.
Great. Let's give it a listen.
Let's do it. We're here with Samantha Smithies from Albany, California. Samantha, can you start out by telling us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Samantha Smithies. I'm 18 years old, almost 19, and I'm currently a sophomore at UCLA. But my hometown is Albany, where I actually am currently right now. And I have been involved in the Albany Climate Action Committee while I was in high school for 2 years.
Why is climate change important to you?
It sort of started, fortunately, as awareness and understanding as a child. So being part of the earth and involved in nature was kind of always something that was really central to my childhood. So camping, hiking. I lived in Kansas, actually, for quite a few years. And so we would go to the recycling center at Walmart, which is kind of funny, and sort of recycling. And then when I was 6, I made my own decision without my family to cut out red meat. And so there were all these like small personal changes that had been happening from such a young age. And then moving to Albany, I was kind of recognizing in high school that I wanted to be involved in government and policy in some way. And so the opportunity to be a student representative for the Albany Climate Action Committee actually was almost an accident. So I didn't necessarily join in the beginning with the intent that like climate change is my highest priority and something that I really want to tackle. It was more, I want to get involved. And then through joining, I began to realize there's this enormous existential crisis that is already affecting my life and will continue to affect my life and future generations. And it was almost like I didn't feel like enough or anything was really happening. And of course, I grew to realize there's so much work being done and so many people involved, but it still really felt like it wasn't enough. And it almost felt like a problem to solve. I really love problem solving. And it's this issue of how is there something so big that will affect everyone, but yet we can't all mobilize to take action. And it was really exciting to see kind of on a local level what can be done and that every action you take, especially institutionally, matters no matter what the scale is. And so now my interests have diverged a little more from just thinking about climate change as to how we keep the earth livable, but also to think about remedying the disparate effects of the climate change on minority communities and really how can we look at the intersections between climate change and other enormous challenges facing the earth, like housing, migration, health, and kind of taking a different angle slightly.
Why do you believe it's important for young people to be involved in climate action efforts?
So there's, of course, the first part, which is that we will face the brunt of the burden of climate change, and especially like our future generations. So I think the time lag that's kind of inevitable with climate change is more real for us, and it's harder to avoid. And then there's also the part where youth, of course, always bring in different perspectives. And I think even with environmental justice, I think youth have kind of been a push for that more so than older generations. And then on the other side, like climate change is an action that is really possible to get involved with, and there's so much room for growth. I think it's very accessible for youth. And then there's another part of science literacy, and it kind of is a social issue that also pushes science, and science is so often politicized, and getting involved with climate action kind of combats that in a way, because you learn about science is a fact-based matter in a way, and less about like how it might be false. And yeah.
Can we go back to your involvement on the Climate Action Committee and tell us a little bit more about that? You know, were you the only youth member? Was it something that came from the city, or was it driven by youth?
I was the only youth member. So I joined my the fall of 2017. I'm trying to think of what year that was in high school. My junior year, and then continuing into the fall, right up until I left for college. So I was elected by the school board technically. So there's one spot on the committee that's chosen by the school board. And I was with a group of everybody who was almost 30 to 40 years my senior. So it was definitely, I felt like the little kid in the room. But it wasn't so much that like I was treated as the youth representative. I was really given the chance to be a real member of the committee. And so I started as the student representative. And then I was elected by the committee as the vice chair. So I sat second to Nick Peterson, who was the chair at the time. And then during my senior year of high school, I actually became the chair. And so I kind of had the opportunity to go from just being a sitting member and giving input to really leading the agenda and leading what we were doing and having the chance to fully kind of guide where we were going, which was really, really exciting. And then I also had the opportunity to sort of create focuses. So we had subcommittees, and so I was more so involved with the community outreach aspects and kind of trying to build partnerships with the school, because of course, as a high schooler, I had those connections. And then also thinking about active transportation. And so it was really an amazing experience. I think one of the benefits of being in a smaller city is the chance to get involved, and really in a real way. Like I felt that I had the opportunity, I did, to speak with city council and see like bigger level decisions being made. It was also a small part, but really exciting, voting for the first time and knowing the candidates who are on the ballot because I've talked to them. So that was just a wonderful feeling.
That's really great. And, you know, it gives you a lot more experience just in how city government works and understanding those processes. Can you tell us more about what happened? What were some of the outcomes of your involvement on the committee?
Yeah. So there were three really kind of large achievements that I was most excited about. So one part that we were working on for a long time and will continue to be a main priority of the Climate Action Committee is the new 2020 to 2035 Climate Action and Adaptation Plan. So that is our goal to reach net zero. It used to be by 2050, but they actually moved it down in December of last year to 2045, which is really exciting. And so that was focusing on three main objectives of eliminating the use of fossil fuels, promoting a carbon-free economy, so looking at a full circular vision of how the economy could work alternatively, and then also building a resilient community to climate disasters and other climate effects. And then the next really exciting achievement was the implementation of opt-out enrollment of all city accounts into 100% carbon-free electricity through our community choice aggregation program, East Bay Community Energy. So all of a sudden, our emission sector from electricity basically went down to zero. The number of people who opted out was incredibly low. And it was really a wonderful thing to be able to know, like, we did something that concretely lowered emissions, and we'd be able to see that in future years. And then the last part that was really exciting, especially coming from kind of a community outreach angle, was the rollout of an online portal called Carbon Free Albany. And so we worked with a company that's created these websites that help individuals take action and kind of track that in a gamified manner, and allowed us to connect with community members and facilitate individual sustainable actions with a little bit more of incentives. And so that's sort of still being rolled out. It's always challenging to get people to a brand new site and to enroll and elect into something that they haven't heard of before. But over the 2 years that I was there, there was really so much done.
Yeah, that's really great. How did the city officials, especially elected officials, react to youth involvement in this effort?
It was kind of mixed. I'd say the first reaction was always, wow, I'm impressed. This is really amazing. And of course, that's wonderful to hear, but it can feel a little condescending. And I don't mean that in the way that they didn't respect me or that they didn't take what I was saying truthfully. It almost just felt like what I was saying was less important than how I was saying it. But there was definitely a responsiveness. And I'd also say that on the city staff level, absolutely, like 100%, every city staff member I met was treating me not as a high schooler, but as like a real person involved. And that was a wonderful experience. And they helped me so much as, you know, I moved up kind of the ranks of the Climate Action Committee and growing into that chair role. And then the other part, I think, was that it almost felt when I would be presenting to city council that maybe they would shy away from a little bit of the like disagreements, which was actually really nice. So maybe there was even more like incentive to kind of say yes to it, because here was this high schooler presenting to you, and how could you say like no to a high schooler was almost what it felt like. But it was really wonderful. And I think Albany absolutely listens to youth and really incorporates them into their local government, and just the way that the committees are structured, there are other committees that also, and commissions that have student representatives.
That's great. Young people, especially on many issues, but especially on this issue, have so much moral power, moral authority. You know about the, I guess if you just voted, did you vote in Albany?
Yes, I did.
Did you, you also got to vote for this new ballot measure, right? The DD, the utility tax to create some funding for climate action work. What do you think about it? Did you have any involvement with it? You know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was really exciting to see a ballot measure that actually talked about climate change and how to fund it. So yeah, it was my first time voting. I did vote for it. And I wasn't directly involved about it. I was in all the email chains talking about how do we mobilize community support for this. When kind of the peak that was happening, I was partially still in LA and still kind of not available to really get involved. But it's really exciting. I did vote yes for it. So I'm definitely a supporter of it. I think it's wonderful the way that it exempts low-income households, not only from the increase in the utility user tax, but from existing. So there is that part of it's made more equitable. There are parts that I don't love about it that didn't stop me from voting yes on it. I think putting the revenue raised into a general fund, of course, makes sense, because it means that there's not going to be a pool of money that can no longer be accessed. You know, it gives the city more flexibility and they don't have to worry so much about how they distribute the money. But I also think that it just means that, and I trust the city officials and city staff to do this, but to make sure that the one third that they plan to go towards implementing the climate action adaptation plan really happens. And then the other part that I think is just a little tricky for me is the idea of implementing a utility user tax on water. And so, of course, I understand why you want to incentivize lower water use, but I do think water is more so of a human right to me than gas and electricity. And of course, gas and electricity also are important, but just I think looking at what's happening on a national level in Flint and thinking about putting fees on water is always kind of concerning for me. And our water district does, of course, have options for people who can't afford to pay and customer assistance programs. And like I said, the utility user tax won't apply for those low-income households, but there are always the people who are on the margins who don't make that bracket, but still feel the effect. And it's not a super high tax, but I do think it just creates a precedent for how we put fees on water. And then the other part, which is really interesting, is how it exempts, of course, self-generated energy. So it kind of provides an incentives for solar panels and heat pumps and individual action that happens, a small monetary incentive, but still exciting. But then there also is a teeniest bit of an equity issue there, because generally the people who can afford to put solar panels and heat pumps don't have to worry as much about increases in their utility bills.
Great answer. If you weren't involved in the advocacy for it, boy, they missed you, because that was great. And I also say, you know, you mentioned the carbon-free Albany as a achievement when you were on the commission. I saw that and thought it was a great website, and in fact sent it to city staff where I'm on council as, hey, you should take a look at this. This is a really cool tool. Hey, what are you studying now at UCLA?
Yeah, so I'm a public affairs major, which is a brand new major at UCLA that looks to make political science a little bit more applicable and less theory-based. And it's really grounded in what the U.S. is doing and looking at policy on a wide range of issues and kind of looking at how to tackle the world's and more specifically the U.S.'s biggest problems.
As a political science major, I think I take offense to that.
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of tension between the political science department and the public affairs department, but yeah.
So Samantha, when do we get to vote for you?
It's really inspiring. It's great. And there's a lot of work to be done. And so we know that there's a lot of good people coming up.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of City Climate Corner. If you like what you're hearing, make sure to subscribe and give us a review. If you're able, become a monthly supporter through Patreon. As always, you can find more information on this topic and resources from each episode's guests on our webpage, cityclimatecorner.com. If you have an idea for the show, send us an email at cityclimatecorner@gmail.com or find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
City Climate Corner is produced by Abby Finnis and me, Larry Kraft, edited by me. Music by
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.